Morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Matthew 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. In the Message version, you're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this passage. Help us to be peacemakers. Come, Holy Spirit, speak to us this morning. Thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. I believe Jesus is calling all of us, followers of him, to be peacemakers, because God is a peacemaking God. And when we practice peacemaking, we will be like our Father, our Heavenly Father. I want to begin with a story. I bought a book recently called Peacemakers. It's a little bit long, but I think you can follow along. "Don't you try to come in," Frank yelled through the door. "I have a bat, and I'll hit anyone who comes in." "Come on, open the door, Frank," Joe responded from the porch. "We just want to talk." "This is getting out of control," Jenny said as she pulled at Joe's arm. "I think we should call our lawyer and have him talk with Frank." "But the realtor and the buyer will be here in 10 minutes. The deal will fall apart if they can't get in to look at the house." "It will fall apart a lot worse if Frank goes after them with a bat. I'm going to call right now and postpone the meeting until we can do something with Frank." "Okay, but I won't let him hold this sale up forever. You've got 2 days to get him out of here, Jenny. And after that, I'll come back with my own bat. I'm sure John and Matt will be happy to join me." Joe stormed over to his car and drove out of the farmyard, venting his anger by spinning a wave of gravel across the yard. As Jenny drove back to town, she felt utterly trapped between her four brothers. Ever since their mother died, they had been fighting over the farm. Frank had been born with a disability that had kept him at home all his life. In the early years, their mother had cared for him, but as her health faltered, Frank became the caregiver, rarely leaving her side. When she finally succumbed to a massive stroke, Frank's world collapsed. Things got worse when their mother's will was read. She and their dad had established a trust many years earlier to provide for Frank, and in their wills, they left the farm equally to their other four children. Now that both parents were dead, Joe, John, and Matt wanted to sell the property as quickly as possible. When they told Frank, he was terrified at the prospect of moving out of the only home he had ever lived in. As he resisted the idea, heated arguments ensued, and now Frank was cornered in the lonely farmhouse. Although Jenny needed the money from the sale as much as her brothers did, she did not like the idea of forcibly evicting Frank. The three brothers were oblivious to his fears and determined to push ahead. Jenny felt powerless to stop them. Then she remembered that her pastor had recently attended a seminar on biblical peacemaking. A brief call to him led to a meeting that night, which resulted in an intense discussion with the three of her brothers. "Look, Pastor," Joe said, "I'm only asking that we honor Mom's wishes and follow the law. She and Dad decided years ago to set up a trust for Frank and divide the farm among the rest of us. As personal representative for her estate, it's my legal responsibility to honor her will. I know it will be a little hard on Frank to move out, but there's a nice apartment complex in town. He'll settle there in no time." "But it could kill him," Jenny pleaded. "Losing Mom devastated Frank. If we force him out of the house, he'll lose everything that's familiar to him. I'm afraid of what it will do to him." "So what do we do?" Matt injected. "Just sit around until he dies years from now and then finally divide up the property? I've got two kids in college, and if mom were here, I'm sure she'd want us to sell the farm and help them out. I agree with Joe. We should honor mom's will and follow the law. I appreciate your respect for your mother and for the law, said Pastor Barry, but there is something else to consider. All of you profess to be Christians. What is the difference between the way you're handling this conflict and the way a good atheist would handle it? After moments of awkward silence, Joe finally replied, I'm not sure I see your point. Let me put it another way. What is more important to you in this situation? To get your money as soon as possible, as most people would, or to demonstrate the love of Christ to your brother? Oh, I see, said John. You want us to be good little Christians who just give in to others and walk away from what is rightfully ours. No, that's not what I'm saying. God loves justice, and he certainly wants you to respect your parents' wishes. But there is something he wants even more, to see you treating one another in a way that shows the power of the gospel in each of your lives. That sounds good, Pastor, Joe replied, but I just don't see how religion applies to this problem. If you really want to know, let's pray together right now and ask God to show you how you can resolve this conflict in a way that honors him and fulfills your parents' wishes. God answered their prayers in a way Joe had never expected. 3 weeks later, the entire extended family gathered together in the banquet room of a local restaurant. Jenny had somehow overcome Frank's fears and persuaded him to leave the house and join the family for dinner. 12 nephews and nieces watched with rapt attention as he walked into the room and nervously sat down at one end of the table. As the eldest son, Joe asked for everyone's attention. Frank, our family is gathered together today to honor you. For the past 10 years, you devoted yourself to caring for mom. Today, we want to present you with this special plaque. It says, to our brother Frank, the best of all sons, who cared for our mother with selfless love and undying devotion. Your companionship filled her life with joy and delight and was a constant reminder to her of the love of God. With deepest gratitude to a wonderful brother, from Joe, John, Jenny, and Matt. Tears welled up in Frank's eyes as Joe handed him the plaque. Before he could speak, Joe handed him an envelope. Frank, in appreciation for all you have done for Mom, we wanted to give you this gift. It is an agreement we have all signed that gives you a life estate in the house. That means you'll be able to stay there as long as you live. We found a buyer who is willing to purchase the rest of the farmland. Ownership of the house will eventually pass to our children, but as long as you want to live there, we want you to know that it is your home. As Frank clutched the envelope, the dam of emotions finally burst. Months of uncertainty and fear gave way to sobs of relief and gratitude. As Joe leaned over and hugged his brother for the first time in years, Joe's teenage son leaned toward his sister and whispered, maybe there is a God after all, because there is no way Dad would have done this on his own. Long story, I know, but I love it. I love this example of the pastor wanting to make peace, the sister wanting to make peace, reaching out to the pastor, and the brothers praying. The writer of this book, Ken Sandy, says, if we really want to be peacemakers, we have to pray and we have to ask God, what is the most pleasing way? What is the way that would be pleasing to God in how I handle this conflict? And that's what the pastor invites them to do. Ken Sandy writes, when someone mistreats or opposes us, our instinctive reaction is to justify ourselves and to do everything we can to get our way. This selfish attitude usually leads to impulsive decisions that only make matters worse. The gospel of Jesus provides the way out of this downward spiral. When we remember what Jesus did for us on the cross, our blinding self-absorption can be replaced with a liberating desire to draw attention to the goodness and power of God. Peacemaking can be talked about in two different ways. One is personal peacemaking. If you have a conflict with someone, how are you going to respond to that conflict? In a peacemaking way or in another way? Or it can be talked about in what the pastor did, how he brings two parties together to make peace. Today, only 10 minutes left, I want to talk about personal peacemaking. How are we going to respond when we go through some kind of conflict with somebody else? John Stott, another well-known pastor from the UK, he has passed away now, he says peacemaking is costly. He coins the term cheap peace. Just like there is cheap grace, cheap love, cheap forgiveness, right? These are false forgiveness, false love, false peace, true peace. To have true peace when there is conflict between a relationship, to really address the issue, to really address the conflict, to really come to a place of compromise, love, agreement, in the midst of disagreement, is costly. Cheap peace is when you try to just ignore the problem, when you deny there is an issue. We talk about the difference between peacekeeping and peacemaking. Peacemaking is proactive. You try to address the issue. You identify the issue at hand. You address it. You look at your own shortcomings. You look at your own issues. You identify things that you have to apologize for while confronting. You confront your own fears about having this uncomfortable conversation, vulnerable conversation, how you might have been hurt, how you might have been disappointed, how you might have how you feel like there has been some wrong that has been done to you. And it's an uncomfortable conversation. It's much easier just to ignore it or deny it, pretend like you're okay. That's peacekeeping. You want to just keep the peace, not deal with the real thing. Peacemaking is costly and it's difficult. But true peacemaking, we have to step into these uncomfortable conversations. Ken Sandy also draws a distinction between peacemaking and peace breaking. So he says in conflict, there are three different ways we can respond. One is peacekeeping. You ignore, you deny, you pretend that everything's okay. And then there is peacemaking, which is what we want to do. We want to confront the issue with love, right? We want to address the issue at hand. And then there is peace breaking. Peace breaking is when you just want to win. And you don't really value the relationship and what is, you know, you don't really value the other person. You just want to win. Your whole focus is winning the argument, winning the situation. That's what the brothers were doing, right? Frank was their brother, but they just wanted to win. And they just wanted the money from the sale. So they were willing to break him in a way to get what they wanted. That's peace breaking. We can either fall into these two, but what we need to walk in is peacemaking. And peacemaking is costly. You have to lay down your fears of confronting the situation. You also have to lay down your self-centered, self-focused desires. They had to lay down their desire for the money from the sale and their desire to win in order to see this issue from God's perspective. So it's difficult, but nevertheless, we are called to be peacemakers. As followers of Christ, we're called to be peacemakers, to do this thing that is costly and difficult. I have two quick points. Peacemaking is empowered by the gospel. That's first. Peacemaking is empowered by the gospel. The gospel teaches us about a God who is a peacemaking God. God is a peacemaking God. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 to 22. Colossians 1, 19 to 22. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. God could have responded in a peace-breaking way and said, these guys, full of sin, disobedient, they deserve wrath, simply perishing, right? Simply just causing us to perish and die, end up in hell. Or he could have gone a peacekeeping way. A lot of the people in the world think of God as a peacekeeping God who just ignores the issues, who just relents and forgives and lets go and pretends like nothing is ever bad. But that's not what God did. God didn't ignore or deny or overlook the offense, pretend that it was nothing. God didn't simply condemn and shame and punish. He made peace, costly peacemaking, through sending his son Jesus Christ to die in our place. It was a great cost, but because of his love for us, he chose to make peace. He valued the relationship and he valued the lives of all of us, and he chose to make peace through Christ. And so it's the gospel that should empower us in our own relationships when we are offended and when we are opposed and when we are hurt, disappointed, angered. When we remember what God has done to make peace with us, we're empowered to do the same. The second point is peacemaking demonstrates the gospel. And I think this is it's kind of sad. Peacemaking demonstrates the gospel. Meaning, when the world sees believers, followers of Jesus, despite genuine conflict, choosing to make peace, choosing to forgive, choosing to die to their own desires and honor the other person and really look out for the interests of that other person and coming to a place of love and compromise and peace, that shows the world, wow, something is different. Something is different. Just like the sun. Joe's teenage son that whispers to his sister, wow, God must be real because dad would never have responded in that way. Through Joe's change of heart and love and respect for his brother Frank, his son sees that and goes, wow, that's the demonstration of what God can do. That's the demonstration of the gospel. I say that it's sad because this happens so infrequently, right? Even in the church. Oh, man. I mean, it's hard not to think about our story as a church. And I don't want to dwell on it, but hard not to think about it. And how just could things have been different? Of course, things could have been different. But it's just, man, but not just our church. I mean, churches are divided across, you know, this whole world. So many churches. I was with my dad in Korea just about a month ago, and he's always lamenting the fact that the Korean church is the most divided church in the world. So many different little denominations and so many little things that make churches split and start a different denomination, a different church. Peacemaking demonstrates the gospel to the world But if we are constantly either peacekeeping or peacebreaking, man, we are we're failing to demonstrate to the world that there is a different, that the gospel shows us a different way. Ken Sandy, he talks about his own ministry. So I think he used to be a lawyer, and then he felt a calling to begin this ministry of peacemaking. And just shares in an interview of how his own father wasn't a believer. And he is skeptical of his son's work of making peace. But over the years, through story and story after story of different people coming to a place of peace, his father eventually couldn't deny the existence of God and the love of God and the realness of God, and eventually gives his life to Jesus Christ, but primarily because he kept seeing through his son, you know, the power of the gospel and the love of God and the just the realness of God. And so peacemaking is costly. Well, you know, we need to avoid cheap peace that comes either through peacekeeping or peace breaking. Right? When we break peace, we still have peace because we just got our way. Right? We broke everything else. We got our way, so there is peace, a lack of conflict, but that's not true peace. That's cheap peace. Peacekeeping, you ignore and you deny, you pretend that nothing has happened, and so there might be a apparent lack of conflict, but that's not true peace. That's cheap peace. Peacemaking, when you address the real issue, you identify the real issue, you confront your shortcomings, you confront you're hurt. You have that conversation with vulnerability, with love, with respect. You lay down your selfish desires and your insistence on winning, and you make true peace. It's costly, but it's empowered by the gospel, what God has done for us, and it demonstrates the gospel. It demonstrates the love of God, the goodness of God, the kindness of God. So let's go before the Lord. Let's pray. Let's pray that and ask him for his help in walking this out. Thank you, God. I just pray, Lord, that we are all children of God already through what Christ has done and through our faith in Jesus Christ. Yet, it's hard, God, it's hard for us to truly walk in peacemaking ways. So I pray that you would help us, Holy Spirit. Help us identify if we where we have fallen short. Help us to examine our own hearts, examine our own lives, and speak to us, Holy Spirit. Lead us. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, grant mercy, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you. Oh, Master, grant that I may never see so much to be consoled as to console, oh, to be understood as understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul, oh, make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, let me light. Where there is sadness, ever joy. Oh, Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console. To do me understood as to understand. To be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. In giving of ourselves that we receive. In dying, oh, oh dying. That we are born to eternal life. Oh, Master, grant that I may never see so much to be consoled as to console. To be understood as to understand. To be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. Where there is doubt, true faith in
Yes, thank you, God. Make us a channel of your peace. Yes, thank you, Lord. In our relationships, in our workplaces, in our church, in our families, help us to help us to bring peace wherever we go. Yeah, that difficult work of peacemaking, God. Not cheap peace, but true peace that is demonstrated by you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Lead us, Lord. Speak to us. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray for those who are battling cancer. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for strength. Let's pray for just the miracle of God to bring complete healing and restoration for our friends on this list. Let's go to illness and salvation. Let's pray for those who are sick, but also in need of salvation. These are friends of our church members, family members of our church members. Let's pray for God's power to heal and also to bring them into a relationship. Thank you. Let's pray for various infirmities. Let's pray for healing for our friends. Let's pray for those who are battling COVID. Weekit is the only one that is still testing positive, I think. Constance and Asher are fully recovered. Actually, Weekit is also almost recovered, so praise God. Ben, I know, just tested negative, so I think most of them are okay. But let's just continue to pray for healing. Let's pray for long COVID, you know, let's just pray for God's covering over our friends on the list and pray for those in the frontline medical field. Let's pray for God's strength and protection and continued guidance from the Lord. Let's pray for people who are looking for a job. Let's pray for God's provision. Let's pray for today's mission focus, which is China, SP Beijing, SP Shanghai, the Chong family, and just the different churches in that land. Let's pray. Let's pray for the board. Pray for each of the board members. Let's pray for their personal lives. Let's really pray for God's favor, God's joy, God's strength, and just intimate relationship with the Lord. Let's pray that God would watch over all the different decisions that the board has to make, that it'll be led by the Lord. Let's pray. Let's pray for our fellowship ministries, young adults ministry. Let's pray that all the single life, all the stuff that happened at Single Life Workshop, it would still remain in the hearts of the people that took it. Let's pray for new ways for young adults to connect. Let's pray for the men's ministry, women's ministry, their different prayer meetings, that it'll be a really fruitful time for them. Let's pray for our hospitality ministries, welcoming and logistics for now. Barista, hopefully we can start soon. So let's pray that God would provide the right people for that as well, and that the restrictions will be lifted soon. Let's pray for our welcoming team to really have a real genuine heart of love for each person that comes to church. For Tim, and let's, for logistics, just like making sure service happens smoothly, let's pray for more volunteers in that area as well. Let's pray for our pregnancies. So Hina's name is off the list because she gave birth to a beautiful boy. So we praise God for that. Let's pray for Rachel and Johnny and anyone else that you might know. Let's continue to pray for God's protection and grace and health over the moms and the babies. Let's pray for the house churches meeting today, that they'll have a wonderful time, their last house church gathering before this season's over. Father God, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your presence. We worship and honor you, God, this morning, and we give this day to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day today.